Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, with great joy, we come before you and we want to just focus on you and on your word for these few moments before we go to prayer, and just pray that you would fill us with your spirit and lead us and guide us and help us again to glean from these prayers in the Bible, as each one is just so informative, it would seem, and help us to take from this what you would have us to take, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be in Judges chapter 13 today, the first of four chapters, if you can believe it, given over to Samson. More chapters given to Samson than any other person in the book of Judges. And we're going to look at the prayer of his parents, chapter 13. One of the great verses there in 18 regarding the name, and the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing that it is wonderful?" So I thought we would just sing this praise song, "His name is wonderful, his name is wonderful, his name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord." The words are near the top of the first page of your notes. So let's sing along and with remembrance and understanding. Turn to chapter 13 in the book of Judges, and I was just kind of thinking this morning of the names, specific names in the Hall of Faith in chapter 11. Have you ever counted them? There's 16 names. Half of them are from the book of Genesis, but the book of Genesis covers a very long period of time, probably three-fourths of the time in the Bible. But in the book of Judges, there are four out of the 16, which is amazing, because we think of that 380-year period as just a waste. Oh, well, I don't know that you think about it. I kind of think of it as a waste, because Israel, at least seven cycles, turns away from the Lord, and then the Lord hears their cry and raises up a judge, and they become obedient, and they come back to a great position again. Why would there be a fourth of the names in the Hall of Faith from the book of Judges? Well, only the Lord knows, but it would appear that when things are really bad all around you, that it may take more faith to do what you need to do with respect to being obedient to the Lord than when more of the current is going your way. So if that's true, as time gets darker, then we may be exercising more faith. In the latter part of chapter 12, we have a series of judges there that reigned for a very short period of time. Jephthah, who was a very famous man, and his name is in the Hall of Faith, and He defeated, had that great battle and made that vow, but then it was his daughter who came out of the house, so that was a kind of a difficult situation, but that was where they had the Sibboleth and the Shibboleth, you know, when the Ephraimites couldn't pronounce it, so 42,000 of them were killed when they tried to come home. But then he only reigned 6 years. Then after him was Ibzan of Bethlehem. He reigned 7 years. And then after him, Elon reigned 10 years. And then Abdon reigned 8 years. So we see kind of one after the other. And then the tragic first verse, as we're introduced to these four chapters of Samson, verse 1 in chapter 13, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. So we see the terrible results of sin and of disobedience and going into bondage for 40 years. But now God's going to raise up a man, and we're introduced here in this chapter to his parents. We don't know his mother's name, but his father's name was Manoah, and he was from the little town of Zorah, which you've probably all been to if you've been to Israel, at least on any of Pastor Chuck's trips. And it says his wife was barren and had no children. And now we have verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared to her. Angel of the Lord. Now, who is the angel of the Lord? Well, we know it's none other than Jesus Christ. In the Theophanies, we have that term given 64 different times in the Bible. You'll remember some of the times that it would have appeared. Remember Hagar, remember Moses, Abraham, Balaam, Joshua, Gideon, Elijah, Zechariah, and of course more. But those are just some of the people where the angel of the Lord appeared to. And so here we have the angel of the Lord appearing to this woman and says, "You are barren indeed, have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son." Not all that dissimilar to what our precious Jesus's mother was told, and also with Hannah and Elkanah, and she was barren and came to the Lord. I don't know about the angel of the Lord, but came to the Lord and to have the womb opened. And now there's some very specific instructions. You shall bear a son, verse 4, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So we see a real premium here on purity. We see also an example of where God says, come out from among them and be separate, because this is a very separating kind of situation. A Nazarite vow would be a person who would separate themselves from society, and they would shave their head and beard, and then they would be holy until that grew out again or until their vow period was over. But here we have a lifetime requirement here on this promised son. Now, next we'll see a good example of marriage here, I think, in today's study. I see several different things that come to mind here because this angel of the Lord appeared to his wife. It did not appear to Manoah. And so she came in verse 7 and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And of course, that reminds us of a couple of things that were very important in that culture at that time. Where are you from, and what is your family name? Those would always be things that you would kind of start out with. Today we say, maybe what do you do and whatever, but we normally don't say where you're from and what's your family name. We might say what's your first name. So she didn't ask him. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his breath. Now notice Manoah's, the husband's, response. He totally agrees and does not question her. Now how many of you husbands would have said, you heard what? Who did you see? What do you mean? That doesn't sound right to me. But he doesn't do that. He prays to the Lord. And for all of us, I think this is important here, particularly as we think about praying with other believers and certainly with our spouses. He prays for them. He says, oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again. Now, many husbands would say, I don't know why you went to my wife. Come to me. I want to hear from you. But no, he said, come to us again and teach us what we should do. So he's very focused on them as a couple, them as a family. And I think we've lost so much of that today in the world at large because we have so few children being born with a husband and wife situation, because half of them are born out of wedlock. They don't even know who their father is, many of them. It's so tragic how the family unit has been so decimated. Verse 9, and God listened to the voice of Manoah. So you think, okay, he's going to answer Manoah. But does he answer Manoah directly? The angel of God came to the woman again. Interesting, isn't it? Came, or at least to me. Interesting. Came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then, now here's the obedient woman as well to the Lord. Then she ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared. So again, we see Manoah obedient to his wife in a sense, or at least not arguing with her, at least it's not reported that he did, because he arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke to the woman? And he said, I am. Now notice this next verse. I think this to me is a key verse. And this is the verse that I would ask you to focus on with regard to your life in a sense. Manoah said, now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? I see in this verse that Manoah is more concerned with being obedient to the Lord and to the duty that is going to put upon him because of this than he is to the event of having a son. Now, most of us are all focused on events, right? Oh, was this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Oh, I'm worried about this might happen or that might happen. We're all focused on events way too much, I think, in our, I'm talking about believers now. Unbelievers, that's all they've got to focus on is events. They don't have anything to focus on being obedient to God because they don't know God. But we know him. And in, as he speaks to you, are you more interested in what he's going to do? Or are you more interested in what you're to do to what he is calling you to? And so we see Manoah here is totally focused on how are we going to raise this child rather than, yippee, I didn't think we'd ever have one, but now we're going to have one. Oh, man, I'm going to make a soccer player out of him, and boy, I'm going to enjoy him and all this. And I'm sure that would all go through your mind, but he was really focused on, what do we do, Lord? What do we do? Verse 13, so the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I have commanded her, let her observe. So we see this focus on purity, purity being set apart, given over to the Lord for his service. And he requires purity from all of us. Maybe not so much dietetic purity, but purity from sin, because sin separates us from God, doesn't it? So here is the example of purity, and that's totally being separate from the world, because the world then would, you know, pretty much they all drink wine, it would appear. Water wasn't very good, I guess, and they drink wine. But here he's not to ever drink wine or eat anything to do with the vine. Verse 15, then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you. We'll prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. And for Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel, now he's getting to the name, what is your name? So that when your words come to pass, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name? Seeing it is wonderful. Now, in the Old King James, I like that translation a little better. This word can be translated secret is the main use of it. It's also remarkable. And it's also translated wonderful. So my name is secret, or my name is remarkable, or my name is wonderful. They all are accurate translations. I'm not saying one is worse than the other. The name in the word in Hebrew is pali or pale. Now we go right down to verse 19. He did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. Again, that same word with the root of pal, pala. So Manoah took the young goat with a grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on, because it happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. That would get your attention, wouldn't it? So we have this theophanies of Christ. He's not exactly the same as when he came to earth as a man, because then he was fully man. and you could tell he was fully man, but here he has the appearance of a man, and yet he would go up in a flame. So we know it's a theophanies is what we call it. It happened as he went that the Lord ascended. When Manoah and his face saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. How much do you fear the Lord? How much in awe are you in of him? And is he really wonderful to you in terms of remarkable and secret in a sense, in that beyond really all-knowing? I mean, he's all-knowing, but we can't know him in his entirety because he's too great for us, right? So Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord, and he said, we shall surely die because we've seen God. But his wife said to him, I love this wife. She's a very balanced spiritual woman, isn't she? If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time. Smart woman, wise woman. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. Here it's actually Shimshon in Hebrew, Shimshon. And do you know what it means? It means sunlight, sunlight. So this is sunlight. Calls his name Shimshon, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him, Mahane Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. So we will end here. Unfortunately, we know that as he grew up, I think, as would be directed by the Lord, because you know in those days, marriages were all arranged by the parents, but in this case, he forces his father, so to speak, to arrange the marriage with a Philistine, which was such a no-no. But we see another problem that we have, I think all of us, how easy it is for us to disregard the great heritage that the Lord has given us. And because of our selfish desires and wants, we go our own way. And so that's what we're going to see Samson too much of his life. He still, in a way, was a great judge. He's in the hall of faith, but he certainly did not do what the Lord had sent him to do in total because of his defilement and because of his sin in his life. So are we committed to being concerned to be obedient to the Lord, or are we more interested in events? And are we, in our relationship, particularly those of us who are married, are we one in Christ? Or is it, I want to hear from the Lord myself. I don't care really about you, but I want to hear from the Lord. We're one in Christ. We want to hear from the Lord together, and we want to be obedient together, right? Particularly when it comes to things like this, such as raising a child. It's got to be oneness and got to be harmony there. So this is the introduction to Samson, and we see his father going to the Lord and asking and getting reconfirmation and so forth, and see the miracle of the Lord in opening the womb and bringing this judge into the book of Judges, which will occupy four chapters, which is more than any other judge. He is one, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Faith, I should say, either one. Father, we thank you for this a little prayer this morning of Manoah and how he would seek to confirm who you are and what you would have them to do. And Lord, we want to be very obedient to you as we would ask you moment by moment, Lord, what would you have me to do? And to test everything by, does this bring you pleasure, Lord? Is this your will, whatever we're doing? And when we ask that question in prayer and listen and sense and check it with the Word of God, our decisions will be much more in accordance with your will than if we don't. So help us to do that. Help us to pray this morning, to use this time to come before you. We want to pray for the resurrection period coming up, for the Passion Week, and remembering what you have done for us. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Lord, such love from you, Father, and such a sacrifice and love from you, O Lord Jesus, and such power from you, Holy Spirit, in being a part of all of this. And so we want to just bow down to you and be preparing ourselves for remembering this time once again as we come upon these dates ahead of us a week or so. So Lord, guide us now in this prayer time, and may you be honored with our hearts and with our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.